I know that this question is circulating amongst Christian churches, especially those who do not observe today. What exactly is Ash Wednesday? Where does it come from? It's obviously not in the Bible, but some of its ideas are. Ash Wednesday began in the early Christian church, somewhere between the 6th and 8th centuries. Originally, the idea was that a Christian, as a sign of his or her repentance, would sprinkle ashes on their head. In Holy Scripture, ashes were always associated with humility and mortality, about fasting, repentance, and remorse. You've all heard the term sackcloth and ashes. In the Gospel of Matthew and Luke, Jesus spoke of this form of humility that was practiced for a long time. We heard it spoken about in the reading from Isaiah 600 years before Jesus was born. We also hear about it in Daniel and Esther. Jesus said these words, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." It's Matthew 11, 21. If you had sinned against God and you felt remorse about that sin, and you wanted to turn away from that sin, from that behavior, then a person would sprinkle ashes on their head as a sign of sorrow and repentance. Ashes were supposed to remind you that you were mortal and that you'll eventually become ashes after you die. We're only ashes, and we need to repent of our sins while God gives us a time of grace. I think it's important that we understand two terminologies. The first is grace. Have you ever received a gift that you didn't ask for and you certainly didn't deserve, but you got it anyway? Sort of like on Ash Wednesday when a birthday cake comes out. That's grace. Grace is a gift from God that we don't ask for, we don't deserve. And then, of course, there's mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Important to understand that all the hundreds of times that we hear the term mercy spoken about in the Gospels, in the Bible, it's about not getting what we deserve. And thank you, Lord, that He is a merciful God. And He sent His Son so that we're not getting what we deserve. The word spoken today that we will hear when ashes will be imposed in just a few short moments from now, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now, during the 6th and 7th centuries, Christian churches thought about integrating the idea of sackcloth and ashes into the liturgical year. People in private at times would sprinkle ashes on themselves as a sign of repentance, and eventually it became a public practice. But instead of sprinkling the ashes on your head, the ashes would be rubbed into the forehead in the shape of a cross, the sign of a cross, the sign of repentance. And as a reminder of your baptism, when the sign of the cross is placed on you with water and the word, the ashes would actually be taken from the palm branches of Palm Sunday, burned the year before. I had the privilege today of mixing up the ashes that were made from palm branches from this congregation and mixing it with holy anointing oil. And that's the way it doesn't get all over your clothes. But we'll be using that in just a few moments. The ashes, some churches today have retained the practice of using the palm branches, while others use it as a sign of just remembering for Lent. In the Anglican Church, we honor this practice and we use it as a beginning of the season of repentance, Lent. The season is a time of preparing our hearts and minds for the holiest week of the whole year and the remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross in our place on Good Friday. Talk about not getting what we deserve. Please remember, it's not whether or not you have ashes on your forehead. What is important about is what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your soul, and your relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lent is a 40-day span, now until Easter. During this time, we focus on Christ's battle with sin and Satan that he waged in order to win for us our salvation. The 40 days from Lent, and listen to this carefully, I'm not pulling this out of thin air. The 40 days of Lent do not include Sundays. That's good news. The kids are loving that one. Sundays are considered a reminder of Easter, a time of joy and celebration of Christ's resurrection. But it is up to you. If you've decided, as all of the kids did today, that they were going to give up Hershey Kisses, no, I'm kidding. They'd kill me. But it's up to you. If you decided to give up Hershey Kisses for Lent, you could have them on Sunday. Of course, you don't gorge yourself with them, but you could have them on Sunday. But a lot of people like to continue the practice that if I've given it up, I've given it up, and I will once again have it on Easter Day. So why do we set aside 40 days? What's the magic number of 40 days? Biblically, there are a lot of examples. Right after Jesus was baptized, three of the four Gospels tells us that he went into the wilderness, out into the desert, to fast and to be tempted by the devil. He went there for 40 days and 40 nights. For Jesus, those 40 days were a time of solitude, of introspection. Let's not forget that Jesus, although being God, was also man. And so when you hear that he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, that's quite a feat. A time when he battled the temptation of the devil and emerged even stronger. Now, how can you say, how could God be stronger? Again, it's the man, Jesus, that became stronger by resisting temptation, and we know that he never sinned. For us, Lent is a time when we make that journey along with Christ. We think about our own temptations, our sins, and we repent. You'll notice that we're using the color purple. After these 40 days, we hope to emerge stronger than we'd ever been before, and our altar guild will then deck the church with lilies and with white, and I'll be wearing white, and we'll all be celebrating. In the old days, the Easter bonnets would come out, right? Lent is a time for us to evaluate ourselves in the light of God's word, a time to abandon the baggage of sin that you've been carrying for your life. It's a time to receive God's forgiveness and strength to lead your life for and with Christ. It's a time to receive God's mercy, not getting what you deserve. It's a time to renew your desire to serve God and to be the person that God has made you to be. As a part of this season of Lent and our own self-examination, I want you to ask yourself some questions. Are there sins you've committed in your life that you feel that you now have been forgiven of? Take a close look. Are there sins that you have not forgiven yourself of? You know that you've been forgiven by God, but you can't bring yourself to forget and to forgive yourself. And I want to ask you this reflective question. Who are you when no one is looking? That's an important question. What kind of person are you? Where do you need forgiveness in your life? Take time this Lent to look at yourself and recognize your sins, and then look to Christ. Before Jesus became man, he looked out over the world and saw all our sin, and he was saddened by what he saw. And so Christ stepped into time. And Scripture tells us, 600 years before Jesus was born, and he saw that there was no man and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. Isaiah 59:16. And now listen to the battle gear that Christ wore for us. Battle gear that had been sculpted, hammered, 600 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah 59:17. Righteousness like a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. Lent is that time when you do some spring cleaning in your life, in your soul. You look deep within and acknowledge your sins. And every one of us is a sinner. Don't anyone try to tell any of us that you've never sinned. acknowledge your sins, and then look to Christ, who won the battle on your behalf, receiving his forgiveness, which he won for you on the cross. I would hope that this Lent is a time when you grow in your appreciation of all that Christ has done for you, becoming more aware of your sins, but also becoming more aware of just how much the Lord Jesus loves you. And as the last part of Lent is leaving that sin behind at the foot of the cross. It's very difficult to do sometimes, to stop a certain sin and to leave that sin behind. And so we have 40 days. I'd like to suggest to you to try this. If you want to give up something for Lent, give up a half an hour a day. Father John, what do you mean by that? Here's the prescription. During that half hour, read a half a chapter a day from the Gospel of John. Just a half a chapter. It'll take you 40 days to do it. Read the verses slowly and then think about the words that you're reading. And then do a checkup from the neck up. A self-check. Reflect on your sins and then rejoice in Christ's forgiveness and mercy. And you know where you'll be towards the end of the Gospel of John. You'll be reading about the crucifixion and about the resurrection as God prepares you. Let God strengthen you through his word this Lenten season. Reflect and rejoice on Christ's forgiveness and mercy. Let God help you to quit that certain sin you want to be rid of in your life. This Lent, may it be something you do, not just these 40 days before Easter, but that you do it throughout your entire life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.